So welcome to the final meeting of the Jerome Stern Distinguished Writers Series. We're glad to have such a good turnout during exam week. So up first, to introduce our first reader is Dorothy Chan. Please give her a round of applause.
So happy birthday, Ocel. Yeah. And a happy birthday. May all your wishes, dreams, and aspirations all come true in this upcoming year. And of course, it's such perfect timing. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And it's such perfect timing that your reading is on the same night as your birthday. I think that this is a good sign for the next year. So let's all just have a drink, maybe raise a glass, I don't know, and celebrate your birthday with you and hear your amazing poetry. If we're born into this world without being able to utter a single word, we should be thankful that on every birthday that follows, our communication skills only get better. And of course, in the case of poets and writers, this is very important, as we learn to refine our lines and stanzas and translate our life experiences into delicate poems that resonate and become bigger collections. According to the Western Zodiac, Ocel is a Sagittarius. And according to the Eastern Zodiac, Ocel was born in the year of the pig. Pigs are known to be relaxed and easygoing, traits I admire in Ocel. And not to sound cliche, but she really is the calm before the storm, the calm after the storm, and the calm during the storm. She has an eternal sageness to her, which makes her able to conquer anything. And she is one of the most giving people I have ever met. I am constantly amazed by her selflessness in life. She is all heart. And to further illustrate this point, I'm going to tell a little anecdote. So a couple weeks ago, we were just hanging out and posting photos on Instagram when I noticed that she hearted one of her own photos. I started laughing at her, of course. And she explained to me that she does this so that the heart is always red and always full. See, and that's all heart. Or to illustrate this idea through a line from one of her poems. How love is at first a greening, how even the bright trees shuddering their shadows across our faces seem a delicious sensation. Ocel's plants, poetry, and flash fiction has appeared or is forthcoming in the Best Small Fiction's 2016 anthology, Crab Orchard Review, the Minnesota Review, Mid-American Review, Mississippi Review, New Ohio Review, Rattle, Salamander, Smoke Long Quarterly, Zone 3, and others. She was a finalist for the 2016 Mississippi Review Prize in Poetry and third place winner of the 2016 New South Journal Poetry Contest. And please visit her website. It's selljessicaplant.wordpress.com. Happy birthday, and let's give her a round of applause.
Lot of light in here tonight, like more so than usual. I don't know, it's so bright. But Dorothy, that was amazing. Thank you so much, and for not making me feel like too much of a nerd for liking my own Instagram photos. I'm super excited to be here. I'm really happy that so many of my students came tonight. Shout out to you guys. So many friends and just this writers community that I'm a part of. Like, I'm just so grateful tonight and grateful that you're here because it's my birthday, that I get to read my poems, that everyone here appreciates poetry. Not everybody does. And I'm also super excited that it's a super moon tonight and a meteor shower. So if you get a chance to go out and look up at the sky, just do that, I guess, yeah. So I have got a few poems to read. Oh, and Barbara and David, thank you for being my poetry parents here in Tallahassee. I don't know what I would do without the two of you. You've really made me feel like I can flourish here, and hopefully I am doing that. Anyway, so this poem is called The World's Trespass on the Body's Essential Disruption, and it doesn't really need an introduction, so sorry to my students if I swear during reading these poems, but the poem wanted that word there, so. What did it mean when the bird shit in my iced tea as we circled the pond on a blind date? Is not a question I ever thought I'd ask myself, though I've been looking for meaning in the strangest places lately, like ankle injuries that make it harder to escape ideas of fragility, or how seeing a fox in my neighbor's yard could be auspicious, since I believe in spirit animals, the power of lunar eclipses, and rose quartz crystals. Why not, since we don't know the inner lives of stone, or what it feels like to be a pink rag of cloud swabbed across the sky? Let the inanimate animate our lives, says my friend, the goddess of confusion, who recently asked me to no longer call her the goddess of confusion, because she's been settled now for 3 weeks on the same guy. Amazing how love can do that, pull us into orbit when we've been wobbling on an axis of cat adoption, tarot cards, and Tennessee. But I'm alone now on a trail in McClay Gardens, thinking about forgiveness and how the heart goes to hell when it's not given, or how it can feel like several wheelbarrows left out in the rain. And because I can't solve my grievances or oxyclean my history back to tabula rasa, instead, out here, I want to high-five the older woman for walking her two mutts with such gusto. The man who huffs up on his bicycle and pants at the view, a lake full of lily pads and alligators, which I can imagine as almost beautiful. What I do is read the trail map, which shows I'm on a red line that wraps around water, find a dropped cardinal feather to stick in my car's dash, study an autumn full of red and orange leaves, their falling ovation. I try to obey a carved wooden plaque that states, sensitive area, please keep on trail, while my mind insists that I wander, try to figure out how this body first became one part rain, two parts fire, elements through which we exit and enter. So I was gonna kind of wait on this one, but I kind of want to read a funny poem. So this poem is called After Joining OkCupid, Desire Becomes a Periscope on Distance. I'd like to confess that dating four men at once is kind of awesome. The way the heart knows how to expand and break off into knowledgeable pieces occurs quite naturally. And because one of the men happens to be a microeconomist who studies game theory, I've begun to consider the nature of scarcity, how I am like a commodity where desire is the only available currency. And since another is a translator, I'll ask, how do I say the heart is a vagrant in Polish? And he might reply, in the spirit of love and conversion, that I must loiter long enough in a foreign territory to understand the principles at play. The other two, a musician and a biologist, have led me to expect that by the end of the month, I'll have found that the best way for the body to hold its own concert is by singeing all of my organs simultaneously through the fire of orgasm. However, if this seems like too much information, try disconnecting your deepest sense of longing long enough to take in the world at its pleasurable best. After all, our planet is something like a cruise ship, with its Midwest buffets of grain and its lit-up cities that bicoastally drift on the plate of our hemisphere. You've seen those NASA satellite photos of Earth from space, how we're congealed in darkness, like a terabyte of light bulbs tossed in the air. It can make you want to catch your breath, the beauty of the cosmos, or just some new stranger standing in front of you in his underpants. All right, got a giggle out of that one. This is "When I Saw You at the Party Friday Night." It was as if I'd been kneeling. You were like a fat lime weighing down its branch. In the dark, the moment began searching for its own applause in my pulse. Because you were there, but not mine, I wanted to fill my bed with everyone's laughter and everyone you spoke to or laid eyes on. Your words and gestures held like smoke in evening's glass. The seedlings in the garden began shivering with night's breezes. The humidity settled on everyone's skin. Just then, cicadas began to enter their valley of complaint, and I was hollowed of the place where you'd once been, distant now. Fields, fences, decay. But what do I know of such things, or even what is real? More, the body says, more. And my heart drags its tired head up and glances from a far edge as if it's been puzzling out a way to return to you. When everyone standing near me is already loved and still so lonely, all our needs look the same, like I was trying to memorize the shape of what once felt endless. And I was kneeling, and you were the lime weighing down its branch. That's like not the kind of party that you want to go to, right? It's like, oh, it's so depressing. Right. This poem is called "While Lying on a Bench in Dorothy B. Evan Park, I'm Mistaken for a Homeless Woman." I'm not homeless, I'm a poet, I say to the groundskeeper, who interrupts as I stare at the sky's blank arousal thinking about X. Is there something you need? He asks. But nothing, not even the squirrel with her acorn has more than I do. Not even the spade in his hand has less. If to a man with a hammer all things look like a nail, what about the man with a spade? Do I look like the soft, mute language of soil waiting for something where nothing is? It's like that when I'm with X, like trying to find the right amount of nakedness my first time at a nudist beach, to calculate the indescribable space between my mouth and the Pleiades. No way to fill X's plate with fire or a minnow hiding in its silver scales of wish. If language were an element sturdy enough to taste, then my body is the little humpbacked bridge rising above this pebbled stream. I'm half an experience, and no less foreign, homeless in the heart of the world. Yes, yes, I need everything. So I used to live on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi and had a house there that was what we actually turned into a verb, slabbed, during Katrina, which means the whole house was knocked down. Actually, the town where I lived is, where I did live, is called Waveland, Mississippi. And most of the town was similarly slabbed, as we said. So it took me a long time to figure out how to write a poem about that experience, about you know, kind of having a home that was ripped up by natural forces. So this is the poem that finally happened. So it's just called Waveland, Mississippi, an elegy. And I'm going to take a sip of beer before I read it. Treaded and unlaced by the cattails, the dun-colored old sneaker lies forgotten. And all things weighing the same in my mind, it swims away like our home in Mississippi. which once unfettered from slab and sky became part of the storm surge because windblown water is not the same as hurricane, we'd learn when our all-state claim was denied. Before, we used to hang with Maisie, the neighbor's gardener, and because I was shy and young, I'd take the mondo grass she'd give me to plant in the two-deep gully in our front yard. They're thirsty, she'd say, the bucket of her voice dropping its water on me, but I never planted anything she gave. Mississippi's always had something live in its mouth, but after Katrina, I waved to Maisie only once by the wreckage of the carriage house, then went on wondering about the stray cat I'd fed as our neighbor's car sat slant across our yard. To think they'd been angry when our house was built, the metal roof, the pergola too close to the street. Now our bathtub was in the drive. I reached beneath a fallen wall and found a loose doorknob. 10 years later, it lies in a basket of magazines, the old number one from our mailbox on the toilet tank. My roommates don't ask what for. I don't think about the ex-husband or miss his Navy uniforms or even his pickup truck, but from time to time I revisit the image of that mahogany front door stained the color of mud. 6 panes of glass, I didn't care what the neighbors could see when they drove by, couldn't be bothered. Not when the peepers grew so loud at night and the pines cracked like knuckles in the wind, worry making me call the dog to come in from the yard. I'd turn off all the lights in the house and stand watching out, waiting for the rain, the windows open an inch, knowing I was alone, my bare feet on the cold, hard floor. Am I doing okay on time? So sometimes I'm a little bit into astrology, and I feel like it's like such a guilty pleasure for someone from a Catholic upbringing, but I really dig it. So this poem kind of is about that. It's called "Go to the Edge of Giving, Then Break Yourself." Friendly advice, right? Okay. Go to the edge of giving, then break yourself. This is the advice I get from the universe, or rather from an astrologer who's giving his report by a duck pond in New Zealand, talking about Mars and Jupiter, the energy of all exotic creatures, of which the duck is not one. Distracted, I glaze the surface of his words, like the duck nuzzling its feathers or some algae, or is it his partner's reflection? The new moon, he says, enters Sagittarius. My partner thinks I can never be serious, but I want to get below or be brought low by my lover to give until I'm like a holiday party after the candles have sputtered out, after the guests have left and the wine has set in the carpet. I'll waddle to him on hands and knees so he can see what he's done, plumping my feathers, tipping over for him, pouring out until he can no longer doubt his love. So I watch astrology reports about how the heavens move, a science of looking for clues. And last night, he saw me taste him in the lemon rinds I bit, taking them off the water glass rim. For bioflavonoids, I said. I need these distractions, these planets of laughter, giving all I have to everyone I paddle past because I can't wrap him in all this affection. I make my way towards him, afraid to knock our stars out of their constellations, holding my breath. I flicker through a bruise-like emptiness. You guys are so sweet. Okay, this one is called "When I Come Back from the Dead." Again, very cheerful. When I come back from the dead. There's like one person that's like snickering. I'm like, yes, thank you. There are no doorbells. The tulips greet me with the same empty cups I've never been able to drink from. The porch lights, left on all night, have battened their faces against the confusion of moths. There was a time when any hand, your hand, was the entire world at work on his old dissertation about love. That word locked in page after page of thinking. The ambulance inside me has only just turned off its siren. I've learned to hover, to fly backwards into the ravaged heads of cardinals. The way love works is darkness, darkness, darkness. Let there be one atomic and particular sun, a body speaking fire into itself, an opal ring lit. The world will then reverse its grip. Maybe two more? Am I okay with time? Okay. This is like a fish needs a bicycle, and I know a lot of you probably don't know that saying, like a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. So maybe just puzzle that out while I'm reading. There's something crooked about his mouth. And though he's obviously going to go bald soon, his eyebrows are like kind squat temples above his eyes, one pupil dilated slightly more than the other. This is what it's like to be single, to stare at a picture of a man online and wonder, what does he smell like? What would it feel like to wake up beside him after 2 years of living together? I want to believe that all relationships are mistakes waiting to happen, have that built-in obsolescence, and are the reason why I finally like that saying about the woman, a fish, and a bicycle. I like imagining that fish upright underwater with its fins spinning in loose circles, the same way we pedaled our feet in the air today during yoga to warm up our thighs. Love's made a fool of me once too often. It's like standing over a car engine. I don't know the rules for recalibrating or even how to change the oil. It's just that every man looks like laundry and concession. Even the doctor with great abs, my sister tells me she's seen at the soccer field with his son. I wonder if he wakes in the morning and cooks his kid oatmeal. I wonder where his ex-wife is now and whether she's felt it, how love is at first a greening, how even the bright trees shuddering their shadows across our faces seem a delicious sensation. I wonder that we're able to hold in abeyance the blade that will come to cut away all that softness and leave in its place the ribs of something enormous, like the hull of a shipwreck, love having split away for something new, the bones of the world exposed. Okay, just one more. So this is called No One Ever Tells You, and I'll dedicate this one to my students. So No One Ever Tells You, during high school, will probably be the only time anyone will ever come to your bedroom window after dark to woo you by throwing rocks or drag a ladder from around back where your dad left it. And isn't that the way nostalgia works? By tossing a bruised arm over our shoulder and sighing in an ear for all we missed while we were living it. Like the sound of someone carving initials in a time-worn tree, an ancient name written in Sanskrit that we read and reread to know how much we were once loved while we lay alone in a small room on the edge of a town, which is itself on the edge of a moderate-sized city, so full of yearning people that the present is tricked out with hope, desire, and grief. This is what we fill the universe with, a collective silence that tendrils open until a pale umbrella suspends above our globe, longing the color and shape of sky. and each person busily twist-tying a galaxy of understanding to the inside of his or her cage of bone. Because bones know, don't they, how we're all adrift, how to hold us down, skull-wrapping all the sentiment we flex beneath the shadow of what once was and will be and is. Thank you.
Coming up next to the stage to introduce Tanya Gray is Yolanda Franklin.
Hey, everybody. What an honor it is to introduce a friend. We all have instances where we meet certain people and then you're like instant friends, right? I've been lucky to say that a lot of my instant friends have ended up being times I've spent here at FSU in the program. So that's been great. And Tanya is one of those. So short and sweet, because her poems are way more important than what I have to say about her, because we're going to learn about her. Tanya Gray. She undresses the South, strips her down to her undolled self in wonderment, asking, why me? Wearing hours like a broad grin, smears away her lipstick, which is always the shade of good manners. Be careful to listen. Don't trust this reader. She may be gaslighting you for the ride. Yet never trust the line of a girl from the South anyway. She knows if Barbie had a brain. And remember, just cause a thing is said doesn't make it so. So please help me in welcoming Tanya Gray to the Warehouse stage.
Thanks for coming out. So I figure I'll just break the ice with a poem, and then I'll tell you a little bit about where we're going to go. I wanted to say thank you, first of all, to Yolanda for the very warm introduction. You've been a blessing since I arrived. I also wanted to say thank you to Matt and Whitney for all of the series introductions and for making this something special to look forward to every week. And I also wanted to say happy birthday to Osel. Oblation. So an oblation is an offering to God. It's also a homonym for a gynecological kind of procedure. So go with that. Oblation. My gynecologist asks if others may watch. And I consent, already numb, why not? There should be an audience for this end. An antiphon could be written in the hum of machinery and whir, my feet in cold metal stirrups, my legs bent high in a squat. I tune the sterile out. After today, I won't have a period. That punctuation I prayed for at times will disappear. He tells me I will feel some pressure, a little pinch, then dilate wide, my cervix, my eyes. A laparoscopic camera enters my universe, reveals on the monitor a contrast to anatomy diagrams of an inflamed red trumpet aloft aglow, carnations, white feathers, heaven inside of me. The whole room presses close to the screen, and I turn my head away to mourn this holy before we tear the cradle down. So I've spent a couple of decades living on a river in Orlando. I'm from all over. My father was military, and I consider myself a Southern girl. So I have a lot of opinions about the South. They come out in different ways. The river comes up a lot, so it winds through a lot of my poems. So just be forewarned. Mating season. Barred owls on the river hunt for sex all night. In a flash mob exchange, they pitch and haggle their charms back and forth to a wild orangutan vocalize. After such a fury for love, the silence settles, the coupling surely struck. There's no sleeping through the fireworks. But after, in the absence, the whole night rings from possibility. Who knows what will come in the year ahead or what to leave behind? But now I'm awake and thirsty, and the half-full glass at my side is not enough. Too tired to get out of bed, I close my eyes and lull against the translation of owls calling out, if not you, someone. If not you, someone new. Waiting. Just as I heard his truck on the driveway, the glass slipped from my hand, vertigo like I've never had it. Knowing how the night will go, his 3-minute hate disguised as hello, no kiss and 2 beers. He will sit in that chair and rail the evening news when the war is already here. Okay, so this next one, Lethe is a river. We always think of River Styx. Lethe is a river that passed through to forget. Isn't that wonderful, just to forget? For all the fish, the little blessings that I missed, maybe I should just thank you. We can leave the dress behind that didn't fit, or fly to a new city and wear the metropolis as our skin. Things happen. How one love becomes another. In seasons, maybe, it's okay to remember how I lived multitudes of lives. Where does oblivion begin? Years I tried to forget and be reborn, not as a naiad, no. I want feathers and dark. Let me be the hunter. According to Virgil, I'm almost ready. But if long to stay, I should know how I got here. How to? Have I been drinking your water so long I've erased whole passages? Maybe I'll forget. I forget everything these days. Undulled. Some lives are so twisted in the belly, throat blue and airless, corset bound. I have no arms left in your repackaging to hold back cellophane, the walls boxed. Your memory trails the way of an elephant, oversized for a single room. So I am strung out, hungry, awake. Hunger is entropy, ever after. I swallow the night, I swallow the left side of the bed and pull the pregnant covers over my eyes, abiding with you, because it is too much to swallow, because yesterday's special is today's leftover. The tongue diagrams the taste. I keep diagramming the same years, spoon and cup, ocean and blanket. We have no bones, though I drag you with me. There is nothing to say now. I remember your hands, calloused and all want. The whole is a fractal of everything. I can see the pieces. I see mine coming back together with arms. I have a longer poem. I keep pushing it off. I mean, it's a little experimental, so I want to save it a little bit. So I wrote this poem because I'm a, well, I love this band, and I thought, well, maybe I could spur a reunion, and who knows, maybe it still might happen. Actually, after this poem came out in the Los Angeles Review, there started to be some buzz that she might actually pull this band back together for a reunion. So this is Whole Reunion Sonnet. It's for Courtney Love. Because the 90s are over, we grew up and put away baby doll grunge and Mary Jane's. Because we heard Violet and our girl parts rumored with rage, rant, because we were not holes. Who is whole? Our violence was inside because we played pretty, played parts, because there were holes only we could fill but couldn't see, because good girls don't look for trouble, but sometimes they do, sometimes it finds them, because we were more bad than good, because the fairy tale lies and who wants to act doe-eyed coy for some guy, because some part of me, maybe the missing part, awoke on the spot, because words like slut siren, that jaded knife, I want to stay naked so you hear me, because someone will read this and think it's hot, because whole must mean vagina. Moonshine, Southern Thing, nasty stuff. An elixir. In the bottom of a mason jar, anyone, mermaid or sailor, can get caught in a net with starfish, sea glass, and the silver line of hooks. How allure intoxicates under its crooked moon. I forget discretion to shelter my thoughts with a smile. Transparent creatures of the ocean wear no expression in their lulling way. We pretend they're benign and don't sting, dissolve. The fullness of Pandora's pithos pouring to say, what we want isn't what is, but if it was, we'd be immortal. Shine can blind a person in one drink and sink the dark right into their deep. How our passions maroon us, an hourglass of sugar turns to salt, a mouthful of pinion, rudder, course. We enter naked and take on form. There are no wings while we walk, folded, dormant, beating in our pulse. Okay, still not ready to give you the long one. Rewind. I look for what keeps me here. That first love and breathlessness my therapist compares to crack. That high when I don't give a fuck, when I feel like I've won, when I am solid and safe and lightness, that yes. To stay here is Hollywood and celluloid reel, flammable wound so tight a fingernail can't wedge between then and now. A spool of darkness I replay when nothing catches, when my prayer beads move under thumb faster and faster, when the bike pedal outpaces the chain, when all the plates that I am spinning drop and ring the house to silence, that flood of light when the movie burns. So I'm up for marriage. Past year, this time last year, I had this moment. I kind of asked the universe, hey, I want to change my life. So a year later, here I am. And I'm happy for it. And it's been a lot of change. I feel like one of those bad 70s movies where the woman sticks everything in a car and drags her kids with her and they go hours away. But it's been good. It's been good. Cage Sonnet. The road grabs me as I walk outside the door and offers right or left and miles either way. What if I go there, here, or turn toward more? Each step a hello and goodbye or to stay? this pace, song of my feet, a tenor, hymns of want, making do, the best of some day, and into night, places too vast to ignore, the weight of low on eggshells, the fog of gray. I can't abide the house any more to please. Little choices are made, windows open and shut, some rooms I brighten, some I just survive. Places, years can stagnate with a quiet ease, while the best groove can turn suddenly to rut. Walk out and run full run on fire with why. Are we okay? Time? Okay. Facebook sonnet. Facebook gets a lot of people in trouble. Someone thinks I'm beautiful again and likes posts of my day comments. I stifle smiles and feel uncontainable, bungeed off ether and the interplay. Punch drunk in this blue sky space, a rush of the past, the in-between, whole chapters. I open annuals and albums from storage, his change in status, single. Papers in hand, this backlit man heaves toward the kite's trailing end. What if that butterfly? My youngest lights onto my lap. Who's that? As a key turns the lock, I log off. What's bottled breaks. I'm quantum in a space of absolutes. Dissonance without resolution, that's what breaks you. Not at first, like a letter that doesn't come, but the one that does and makes no sound as it holds the room. This morning, rain arrives on the sill, and words rise to mind and fall like swells on the piano, and never cease to surprise, at least in Florida, with riptides and surrender. Sunshine state. Between beaches, just 2 days ago, I considered the world mapped. Today the roads are rearranged and the city's mislabeled. Maybe the state is broken, or my own is, or yours. Birds losing direction and sense, unbecoming themselves, but pulled feathers and song. Even the resident mockingbird cleans her wings, shrugs. What magnetism drives this? Maybe the new moon is fornicating the sun, and we'll have hurricanes in winter. What sound would that make? Does whispering in your ear bring a rise? I have imagined falling in love again, something I no longer thought possible. But in this crescendo unresolved, you appear again and again. What are the odds? I read a story yesterday of a West Coast boy finding a message in a bottle after decades at sea. Just a couple more, just a couple little ones. I don't think I'm gonna do the long one for you. It's just long. We have exams. Yeah. So three little ones. Okay. Little Wekiva River. I want no evidence I am dirty. All the fruit I picked, a dress full, I let drop. Heavy shoes on the heart pine floor, purpling under the skin, all I thought I wanted. The house with its backyard river, swing set and sundial. Enough wild bougainvillea sprang to be kept overlooking the gate. Until now, sun falling behind the live oak, Naaman pointing, me stepping out of the dress. So love does happen, and it happens beautifully. And I wrote this for two of my best friends about a year after they were married. Equinox. We live in the pursuit of halcyon, an elation with wings that will open us and complement our earthly nakedness. How we aspire for a blessing, the one we don't deserve, even on our best day, the one who will hold us in the snow in Green Mountains and in Paris taxis, laughing and sharing cigarettes and Seraphos. We live for a patient ear, for the keeper of blue secrets and our whole long lives. We look up, believing how we live for song-wide smiles to reunite Pangaea, as if never a sea between, when both the day and night are equal and luminous. Okay. You guys have been great. I appreciate it. Okay, last one. Like Darwin's finches in reverse. Distill what we bless or don't. Inside and without, veins, rivulets, everywhere holds a mirror. Dimly, then face to face, moat light spills down, down, through the eye in the canopy. There are plate glass panes full of Indian blankets burning. Sudden meadows, clearings to other doors and thresholds. Full song, there are hinged doors to rooms of passerines and rooms of manufactured nests. There is selection, the waiting, and the house of the woods. There is the house of my life. Thank you.